All right, let me start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of each other and the joy of studying together and the joy of, as a family, brothers and sisters, to kneel at your feet to learn of our Father, of your precious Son, and of you, dear Holy Spirit, the one who shares with us the life of Christ, the one who abides within us, the one who has brought us to a perfect place of rest in your so great salvation. And we inquire after the experience of this perfect place of rest, this place where you take such joy in the fellowship of your life of your Son and his person in each one of us. And trust you to bless our time together as we dig into your word to quicken it to our hearts. And trust you for wisdom now and understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here's the study for today. You'll notice that we really just have in the yellow the songs. We have two new songs for us today and a bit longer, so we'll just have two. And then we'll jump into John's First John's structural diagram in chapter 2, verses 18 through 19. And it seems like it's been a long time coming to get there, and today is the big day. So what we're going to do today now, of course, is get to the structural diagram on chapter 2 there. But en route to that, we'll get back to our reading, and we'll each take a shot at this today. And we'll read in the blue, just the white, 18 or 19. It'll go fairly quickly, but just to refresh our minds of the content of the paragraph. My assumption, of course, is just a reminder that we're all reading in frequent as we can, First John and the other epistles as we have time. So this is nothing new to us. I'll kick it off maybe with the first paragraph here. First John 2:18.
Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be plain that they all are not of us.
Thanks, Marcia. All right. Just to refresh us where we are and to see part of our objectives in moving ahead to the next paragraph. We see on this page then two columns of paragraphs. We've done about two-thirds of this, these paragraphs. Again, in the colored letters, we're pulling out the main thought, the main theme, and the main focus. Significantly out of each paragraph, identifying them, and then we summarize them in the highlighted box in the blue to kind of bullet points. We have done that for each paragraph. Paragraph we're working on now is this one here, the middle of the column on the right side, and we're going to aim at doing that. So as we read it, as we do the structural diagram, we'll be looking for key thoughts, main themes. We'll use things like repeated words and repeated concepts and comparisons and contrasts and the grammatical structure to help us highlight those and to bring those out. After we've done that a bit, then we'll come back and we'll take note in the paragraph with some highlight colors and so on and move ahead on that, which would be the point at which we graduate from that paragraph to the next one. So we're calling these the thought blocks, God's mind being built one block at a time. It isn't that his mind is being constructed, it's that he's constructing his mind in us, and we want to take enough time to comprehend what he's saying, what he means by it, how he gets us to a particular point, how it prepares us to move on further in First John, and how then that fits as a significant revelation and thought blocks in the understanding of the Christian life he's given us. So that's what this page is. Any questions on that? Everybody's seen this enough times. All right, this is just a page, again, that reminds us if at different times we end up with a blank mind, that rumor has it some of us reach a particular point in life where that might happen, and we might need a reminder, brought back to our original joy of discovery using the structural diagram, and this is what it looks like, and some explanation in the middle column on things we're looking for and how we do it. So I'll just have that on each one of the paragraph lessons that we do to have it there for a point of reference. All right, starting with the paragraph then. Now, I know some of us have gone ahead probably and have done the paragraph structure already and so on. This would be my way of review then, and or as an initial exercise for some of us to step-by-step work our way through it. Once again, in due course, as we move from paragraph to paragraph, we'll probably not do this on a regular basis each week as far as structural diagrams go. We'll jump ahead to some deeper aspects of using the structural diagram and trying to delve into the revelation the Holy Spirit's giving us. But until we really have a confidence, we'll do them together, and that'll hopefully promote some interaction amongst us if we have see things a little differently. I know that some of us come from radical backgrounds, and it's not going to be a surprise if we see some things differently. It's just that we might have to hold people down. Now, I know we're missing a key member of the group that might have personal reflection upon what I just said, but
she'd be extremely disappointed she missed this.
Yes, she will.
I'm sure she is. She'd rather be here than doing whatever he's got her doing.
Oh yeah, she held her back from using certain verbiages that were falling towards the negative side of the force field there. All right, 1 John 2:18. Let me read it one more time to remind us. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be plain that they all are not of us. In the yellow, as we work through the structural diagram, be reflecting in the background of our minds. What we're looking for, these main themes, central points, conceptual emphasis of the paragraph, trying to retain the primary goal of John. We know the primary goal of John is to bring us to a place of complete confidence and assurance that we are presently in the experience of having eternal life. We know him as a person, and he resides within us, and it's been brought out by John that we see him in his life, what he's done to us, joyfully manifest as experiences coming out of us of the reality of God's life in a human being. As we see in Christ Jesus, so are we in this world, and so on. So we're looking for that. As we look at this, we know that even as I read it, I don't know, I would hope we're beginning to see different words seem to have a kind of a greater significance than other words. Doesn't matter if they're two-letter, four-letter, big, long words. John uses these particular words, the Holy Spirit, on purpose in our language to convey to us the thoughts of God, so they're extremely significant. So the structural diagram, first thing we're going to do is we separate it into verses, and it's easy enough for us to do, especially when they come pre-numbered. And all of us can use some assistance at a different time. So verses 18 and 19 are just separated by their identification numbers. Then levels 1 through 4 are, we're going to start to do that. So I will bring a verse, I'll go back and bring verse 18 forward. All right, then levels 1 through 4 are, if you guys recall, how we started to go by phrases, grammatical elements like connectives, commas, semicolons, periods, and so on, and start to make it more look like an outline. But it's a logical phrasing. The easiest way to do it, if you guys recall, is to do it in big chunks. And it's easy enough to look at this to see a couple chunks. Here's a semicolon, which would indicate kind of a major chunk. And so we'll just divide that one out easy enough, like that. And then the next one is another semicolon. And again, we have sometimes more complicated layouts, but now we see three levels. Children, it is the last hour. Kind of a whole complete thought. A connective like and. As you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Another kind of complete thought, a good solid phrase holding its own. And then as a result, the connective, therefore, a logical connective, as a result of what this indicates, we know that it is the last hour. So we could segue and start to analyze it at this level, but we'll do some further division before we start to do that. But some side thoughts would be, we can see that this thought development won't be too hard to follow. Plus, we're getting an awful lot of information that we haven't yet had in the context of who John is writing to, our fellow brothers and sisters, and also who he's not writing to, and those that were once amongst us that are no longer amongst us, and how he tags them and or identifies them and indicates some content that would be evidential in regard to what makes them not of us. And it has to do, of course, with that life that he's given that's within us, this resident Savior and this Holy Spirit. And so he gives a name to him like Antichrist and so on. So I will separate this out a little bit farther here by going like this, and like that. And then we'll do this one. Hopefully everybody's tracking with me so far. Nothing too difficult about this. All right, children, it is the last hour. Next, we've got a, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So then now we've got a, let me pull this out because it's going to get divided. And we have this one. All right, now we have some levels we're going to start to use. And is what kind of word? It's a connective.
Connector.
Yeah. And it is also identified many times as indicating a series. So it might not be alone in what's going on here. So just keeping that in mind, then we have so now,
yeah,
which is two words. And what kind of word choice is that that he's using? What's a so now?
What is him now? I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's just identify like a now. Now is like what kind of word, what kind of information is it conveying? Is it a timely thing?
Present.
Yeah, so it's a, so no matter what was said, whatever he's identifying here is that it is you could have like as a result of and so on, like the therefore indicates, but it has more with an indication that something had to occur before in order for this to be true. Mm-hmm. So just, we're just spinning it, thinking out loud as we do the structural diagram. I want to encourage you now, and I haven't necessarily in the past, usually held it for later as we had it apart and identified the different phrases and outline. but now start to engage the paragraph, thinking of the content and also then the rationale in John's mind, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of he's indicating levels or times or things that have to occur before something else happens in the content here. He's given us enough information prior to this paragraph to be able to recognize who and what he's talking about as he introduces it here, but just more a deeper aspect of who he's talking about. So he gives some identification information. And so we're just spinning in our heads, thinking about the content. You can write this stuff down too. That's just fine with little arrows and stuff as you work your way down, if it's a written page or if it's a digital page. So the therefore seems to be a heavy hitter, to me anyway, at first blush. So I'm going to bring that baby back to something like that, where, and you've heard Antichrist and so forth, seems to be, this stuff happens at the last hour, so it's modifying what happens at the last hour. Now, the therefore would apply either to the Antichrist have appeared, and I see them and recognize them, and they used to be of us, and so on, or it's the last hour, and the therefore follows because it's the last hour, and these things have occurred. Therefore, it further verifies that it's the last hour. So what we have a choice here is the therefore going to be kind of be directly subordinate to the children, it's the last hour, or is it dependent upon these two phrases after the and, if you know what I'm asking?
It's kind of being modified by the Antichrist's coming part, isn't it? Because it is the last hour, therefore we know it is the last hour. We need the Antichrist in there to modify that. Therefore.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Curtis. Anybody? And the reason I do is because he repeats the last hour part.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He seems to repeat the last hour. Yeah. Everybody's in agreement there?
Yeah.
So I guess instead of having it here, then I would move it back. And probably do something like this. It's more of a climactic result. Now, we might move it back later, but just as far as this verse at this level, we might do something like this. Making the and extremely important, that the reason he's talking about it's the last hour, and he's adding this supplemental to, there might be other stuff belonging to the last hour that we're going to see in First John. Some might come to mind now or not, but the last hour part of this. So this could be one component part of what John has in his head about the last hour that he's going to tell us, or this is the dominant thing. Maybe there's more choices, but I'm just suggesting them.
Right.
Does that make sense to everybody? So just we can. Me. Yeah, go ahead.
It does to me.
Okay, good. Let's see, Sonia. And, let's leave
out. I have a question. Like, sure. What do you guys think of the phrase, therefore we know? Because throughout the epistle, he talks about we know.
Yes.
You know, like, it seems like that carries some weight too.
Oh, indeed it does. Yes.
Yeah.
And in several categories, the first one you've mentioned, the key important words running throughout the epistle that John is using to convey to us our assurance we have eternal life. It's an experiential knowing.
Right.
And as we dig into the paragraph, we'll want to grab a hold of that and see that John's emphasizing that we experientially know and can identify what the Antichrist is, yeah, or the spirit of the Antichrist, and also a familiarity. We have a personal familiarity with those that have left us. We know who they are, why they left us, and so on. Mm-hmm. I'd have a Steve and a John and a Bill, Throw in a Susie and a Lucy. Okay, so also, I think, Marcia, you were mentioning, maybe there's a more weight should be put to this phrase rather than way over on the right.
That's kind of what I think.
Yeah, we might want to move it back to, children, it's the last hour, therefore we know, and move it back where I had it earlier. So we'll run into this very frequently as we go through paragraphs. We won't quite know the dominance of a given phrase that John's conveying until we engage it more.
Okay.
Spend a little more time thinking it through. So what we did, Sonia brought that up, I think, a paragraph or two before. And so we had two parallel charts running, and we can do that. So one is we put it here. Another one is we put it back, and we'll hold that on the shelf to see where we end up. And there's nothing wrong with at the end of a structural diagram where we spent enough time, we're all quite confident with its content, is that well, it could have gone two different ways, and one track leads to this type of thinking, another one leads to this type of thinking. I want to keep them both so I can review them later on, because later on in the epistle, I might have to come back and change it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. What I'll do is I'll add a page at this point, and we'll have that separate track. Now, we can do that for each part of the content. We can have as many pages as we want, and I can we can sort the confusion out in time to come. There's nothing wrong with options and confusions. It's just we kind of remember, well, what were we doing at the time? Mm-hmm. So I'll just duplicate this particular page, and we'll move it back. Not like that, I won't. Where are we at? Here. Yes?
Back.
Go ahead.
I have it moved back, like kind of at the end of children, or, you know, over to the left, but under.
Yeah.
The therefore.
Yeah.
Yeah. There?
Yeah.
I got it.
Okay. So this is that's one way. Here's the other way. Okay. So we got two ways. I will number them. I guess we could just call it let's call it one. We'll do them in red, make them bold. And we'll do the next one as two. Now, looks like we have, I not to speak for the group, but looks like we might have number one being, if we voted, Curtis and I haven't voted, but the ladies put forth suggestions that I'll group them together. Not that we're teams, but. All right, so there's one, there's two, seems like number one is a popular one. I have a tendency to fall there because in my rationale for that, especially if this was Paul, but it's not, is the how therefore seems to be a more a dramatic, heavier weighted connective. And he's already said a so now up here.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's like, well, he's repeating that type of result, therefore, and not only in reference, and he's grouped in this is the last hour. The idea he introduced to us that the last hour is the time when the Antichrist is going to indicates that time.
Yeah. He kind of winds it up when he says, therefore.
Yeah, seems to. Yeah. So seems to be more important. And so if we summarize this particular verse of which just by way of mental spinning here, we got children, it's the last hour, therefore we know it's the last hour. So it's kind of like he's emphasizing, hey guys, you're really in the last hour and you've experienced and participated in the evidence of that, because who used to be brothers and sisters have left us. You with me?
Yep.
Later in chapter 4, of course, he touches on Antichrist again, and he gives some further identification of their characteristics, one of which is they don't listen to us. They don't pay attention to what we've said. Mm-hmm. Now, we might apply that in all kinds of ways, and I don't want to give suggestions. We should have a blank page here for Landy to fill out, but we'll move ahead. All right, we've taken this far. We'll get verse 19 and we'll pull it up here. Buddy, comfortable with this?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So pull 19 up. I'll throw it in number one first. Same thing. It's not too difficult to do. So we've got the major phrases. So we've got some commas. We've got a comma here. We've got a semicolon. We've got a comma here. We've got a semicolon. We've got a comma. So we've got semicolons, which are more important in the card game than commas. As far as commas can still be inside of a more complete thought, like a semicolon separates. Yet the sentence isn't completed until we get to the last us here. So we've got a phrase here, one we'll use just like we did in the first one. And then we see another one right here. We see from a distance some connectives being used, right, you guys? We got but, we got for, we got but, and we got a that. So we got John at this particular verse is shares a logical mind. He's a little more personable than Paul is sometimes. So with John, we always get a hug. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For. So I'll move that over just visually to see what that does for us. And if we stick it kind of where this one was, as far as the and separating that part of it, and then the but, which we may end up having two versions of this also, you guys. I'll go like that. And the us is over here, my page. I can maybe grab it if I just do this. There we got it. All right, so we got they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be plain that they all are not of us. Now, it's obvious to all of us that he's talking about the Antichrist, and in the context of the epistle, he's talking about the spirit of the Antichrist in its application inside of believers, non-believers, and so on. So they went out from us, but they were not of us. So is the four where we want it to be? If, again, then is another connective, and if indicates what kind of a connective, what's it doing? It's showing us something.
Series. No.
No? What's a if kind of statement?
Oh, if.
If. If this, then that.
This and that.
If this, then that. It's a, what's it going to define for us? A conditional statement.
Conditional, yeah.
If this is true, X, then this is this other thing is or isn't true based on if this is true. So if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. So for if this condition is met, if they had been of us, then this would have followed. They would have continued with us. So the evidence John's pointing out to us is in their behavior. First, it occurs, of course, in their spiritual state and in their, expressed then through their intellect, but their behavior. Now, and what's the but? But's a contrast. What's its contrasting? Listen to that verse. If they had been of a, go ahead.
Explaining the truth of what happened.
And what's the contrast to, where's the, yes, but what's it actually contrast in the verbiage?
They're not of us.
Right. What's the contrast? They went out in contrast to what? Not only that they're not of us, but
rather than continuing with us.
Exactly. They would have continued with us, but they went out.
Yeah.
So for they, if they had been of us, they would have continued, but in contrast to continuing,
they left.
They left, which indicates that they're not of us, which in turn, the result is that it might be plain that they all are not of us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we got one more level going on here. They went out for this purpose, for this reason, that it might be plain that they all are not of us. So I'm just indicating, well, here's one more level that modifies reason rationale why they went out. Who's choreographing this movie?
John.
John's writing it down.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, who's the big choreographer?
God.
Well, all things are being accomplished according to his eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. Who's accomplishing what? The Heavenly Father, the Father in the first paragraph, is the one who's choreographing to us the things that happen in life, and John's pointing out kind of reason, rationale, and what he's showing us by this. If you'd permit me. Now, maybe you don't agree with that. Did they just arbitrarily get up and go out? No, actually, God's behind what's being expressed in their lives. They're not of God, and they can't stay within us. Those that aren't of God, in other words, and this is something that you could jump to application in the sense of after we've done this and spent some time with this, what's an application that we can take away as far as it's applicable to our Christian lives today? If somebody's not walking with God,
they won't continue with us.
They won't continue with us. He's the solidifier. It has to do with the life of God. They don't have the life of God, the Antichrist. And they can't continue with us. It'll be shown. It'll be evident. Just as a sidebar, I don't want to play this too heavily, but if we look in our Christian lives and the history of us walking planet Earth as God's children, it's been pretty obvious that we've seen historically in events, those that proclaim to be of Christ and end up not walking with Christ. One illustration of that is, oh, how the mighty are fallen. We see great big thumpers that lead many, many Christians down a path. And all of a sudden, they aren't walking with God anymore. Many times they have some horrific event that brings them down. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Who's behind that? The Heavenly Father will expose those that don't belong to his Son. Now, I'm making an application because of evidence that is deducible by rational approach to what John's doing there. That may or may not be accurate, but you can see how you could pull information out of it like that. When we come to applications, we want to be careful and make sure we're quite confident in our results are. All right, so now we got a four-level thing going on here. We have a four-level thing going on in 18. Now we got to put them together, and we still got to separate these out. Is this looking good then? Do we need to do a another, like a number two for this thing like we did in the 18? So 19, are we, that's kind of just kind of a step approach to an outline. Does the butt need to be more significant and prominent and moved over? For instance, if I read it this way and left out the phrase with the four, they went out from us, but they were not of us, but they went out. But it might be plain that they are all not of us. So that's a way that then the but would be moved over in line with the therefore in the previous verse. Doesn't have to be that, but just as we look at it, I want you to look for that kind of rationale, thinking it through.
I think that's where I would put it.
Now, as we know, historically, Canadians are consistent. So, I'll put it over there. I'll put it over there, making number one choice. So it'd be like that, and then I'd probably bring this one over. Now we can go back the other way and do another page, but let's see what this looks like. I'm thinking the four, if they had been of us, and the that are somewhat parallel in what John's doing, mm-hmm. with the most important, but they went out, they were not of us, but they went out. And then the rationale, the reasons, and the result. Now maybe the result's even more important than that. In other words, are we really finding it somewhat encouraging and maybe really significant for how we're understanding John, that the Father, as we're attributing to him the choreographing our lives and all that, that it might be plain that they all, and there was a reason and a rationale that they went out by means of which God shows us who and what they are, to what ends, certainly for his glory, but for our own protection and edification, and inherent in this because of John's purpose, we should derive some sort of assurance that we have eternal life and we're not about to go out. And all kinds of stuff going on here.
Can I throw something out here, Mark?
Sure.
Now, I'm not saying that this is what we should do, but they went out from us, but they were not of us. And then I put for they went had been of us, they would have continued with us a little more to the right, like that four underneath the they. And then I lined up the two buts together.
Okay.
And just another way to look at it.
Good. I think you're right, Curtis. Let me suggest a way to do that, because the commas are significant, that we'd pull the but down.
There we go.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that then may give some pronouncement to the significance to the connectives, that in our language, and God's communicating to us by means of our language, that these rational, logical connectives really help our minds, and that they're there for a particular reason, and they are natural dividers as far as the grammar of the paragraph or the sentence goes. And so we have another comma over here that maybe we're going to do something with.
And put the they under
this they, yeah.
They. Yeah.
So something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, yeah.
Yeah, so this is... this conditional statement then has two parts. If they had been of us, but they went out. If they had been of us, it's obvious they would have continued with us.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're getting pretty proud of what we're doing, aren't we?
Not yet.
Well, we're encouraged.
Yeah.
Well, is it great?
The same thing. We can do the same thing on a last, on the bottom then.
Here?
Let's, it might be plain.
That?
Yep, that they were not all of us. On the bottom again. So it would match parallel? The one above it. No, down, a little bit to the right, to the left, right there.
Right there. Yeah. All right, and what we've used for dividers, as we thought through it, you guys, just to see how we've come to this, is the commas, which is a grammatical divider in the thought structure, the semicolons, the commas, semicolons, and the grammatical connectives. Here we have two contrasts. We have a reason and a conditional. We could, if you get picayune, and we don't want to necessarily want to do that, we could put the if, we could put all of this, the if and the they, indented down below one from the four, and which would make in our minds the four mean standing by itself in the sense of identifying the reason or rationale that I'm about to say. So. If to, by way of illustration, I can show you what that looks like. I think we did. We go back one. Yeah, I would go like this then. Makes the four stand out in the sense of here's the reason rationale on a chart. You can circle that baby in red, and then it can also circle the conditional if. Now that's just visually is I have a tendency to do that type of thing. We don't have to as the group. You can do whatever you would like with them. But so it just recognizes the four. If we leave the, if they had been of us on the same line after the four, we could separate the if out a little ways as far as some spaces, or when we do some circling of keywords and grammatical connectives and stuff, we can use two different colors and they could be side by side. So. All right. Are we good there? Want me to bring that back? Somebody's offended with that? They're mumbling?
No, that.
That work? It's just getting into it another
makes you,
level.
It makes you stop.
Yeah.
Well, it makes you stop, and you know that's one thing it does do.
Yeah. Well, we'd ask and review why did we do that. Well, that four is very important and significant. I'm focusing on here's the reason, the rationale for this reason, and then I have the following. So, in time to come, different levels of analysis of this, we do things with prepositional phrases. For instance, the of us are not of us are repeated. And the of us becomes very important as we spend time thinking of this. It's the of us and not of us going on here. And well, what's John doing with that type of concept is it's apparent what's of us and what is not of us. And we are not to do what? Commingle, mix the two. We're to recognize the degree that the life of Christ dwelling within us, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing from all unrighteousness, the efficiency of the blood of Christ has made me something else. And it can't have, can't drag things of the fallen man, i.e. of the world, as John would identify it, into that relationship. There's no room, if we call about Antichrist, for unbelief, for a lack of faith, and so on. So as we work our way through the paragraph, John will underscore those types of things. And that it might be plain is a very, very important phrase, because what's it telling us? Are we going to miss it? No, it's on the nose on your face. How can you miss it? What do we find today in our contemporary Christian world? We have all kinds of stuff like this that's plain as day, but the church won't recognize it. Or the leadership won't recognize it. Or big thump or little thump makes no difference. Won't recognize not what's not of God. And God's behind the the exposing of it, so to speak. All right. But do you want to do anything else to this?
Not me.
All right. Well, let's just take a look at this. What we just did down here, and we're going to blame Curtis for it, is that same thing going on up here?
Oh, I thought you'd go there.
Oh, dear. You said you weren't going to add anything.
Okay.
Well, is that what's going, is the same kind of thing going on? What's plain that they all are not of us? What do we know that it is the last hour? So we certainly could do that.
We certainly could.
If we wanted to. Don't have to, but it does do something kind of important to it.
Yeah, because Marcia mentioned it a long time ago. We
know.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what? That it is the last hour.
Hour.
And that is the connective. Uh-oh. Do you see another one?
Oh, I can't see up that far.
You can't see it there?
Just kidding.
My eyes won't go there.
My eyes can't see that far.
No. All right. So we could. Go ahead.
Is it as you have heard or at? So now? Which one are you going for?
I'm going for the that.
That. Okay.
And you could do the so now. And we want to know, well, why are we even thinking that stuff? As you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So once again, that John has, we saw the logic for him to do this here and put the emphasis here and separate it from plain as an identifier. He's doing the same thing up here. We've heard what? That Antichrist is coming. Right. So that connected.
Yeah.
All right. So we could do that. And then you've got the so now is a little, it's like the for if down here.
Yeah.
So as a result that we've heard the Antichrist is coming, now he's actually come. They've actually come. You've heard about it. Now you've experienced it. All right. That's one more level. It begins to make our charting a little different in the sense of this is all pretty nice and layered. And now we're getting into all this layer, sub-layer stuff. That's the next level in these levels 1 through 4 is to start to identify these connectives and the reasons and the rationales and things that are emphasized by some circling and some arrows and some colored words that would point to them. And the reason for that is just to work our way through an analysis and an assessment of what's going on. We aren't aiming for something that's, although some of us might think so, is really appealing to the eye. We're looking for a layout that can help us see how the thoughts develop. That being said, I'll just do it once for us and see what we got going. Just doing the same thing we did down below. I don't have to go that far, actually. Did we go that far down below? No, we went.
No.
Oops. We went like this. Something here. Like that.
Makes then you gotta do
makes the so jump. Now I got to do it again? Where?
I thought you were going to do the that. As you have heard.
Oh, yeah.
Ing.
Yeah. Uh-oh, here we go.
Okay. That.
We gotta not mix the that and the so up visually. It's as you have heard that and it goes from so. So maybe this goes there. And. Sticking with the that.
Okay.
I mean, just visually. Is it a little more balanced? You don't want to look at it and have to turn your head.
We don't want to just do it to make it pretty. But I heard that.
Well, yeah, but now connective now in contrast to that, I want to have some beauty on my page.
But now it's different. Okay, but it does look better. It does look good.
Looks better, but does it say the same
thing? Oh, now we're having fun and it's starting to look good.
Okay, yeah. Okay, let me move this up here. Give this more room on the page because we lost the bottom. I think it's about as far as we'll take it today. This will give some work for us to do. Let me move ahead to show you what the next panels indicate of what we need to do. After okay. This. Now you can take this and change it around all you want. We've gotten it this far. The next then is to take those verses that we've divided. We'd bring that forward here and I'll do that for us next week. But start to identify things that need to be bracketed, groups of thoughts or concepts. Next page would be keywords, things repeated. Keywords, if you recall, one of the things we did is we add them to our keyword full page layouts. In other words, are they repeated throughout the epistle? Are they a keyword in the epistle? And I'll add it to that table of contents. That's what this is. All right, so. Keywords, meanings, if I need to look up any meanings of words and so on. So I will bring, I'll just do it for us real quick so we can see what we're doing. I'm going to take this one, copy it, and we'll bring it forward to this one. And then we would start to, this still needs a little bit, if you want to do some more division to it, then we'll start applying brackets. So that's where the exercise is. And circling the keywords and things repeated, of which we've identified a few of them. And then significant relationships. Now, relationships are having to do with concepts. They aren't necessarily familiar, like children and fathers, but they have to do with the content, relationship. So contrasts indicate relationships. So we'd identify contrasts. Conditional statements indicate a relationship. So at that level, kind of in a simple level, you can see that. Then relationships, other brought out in the paragraph, we've got of us and not of us indicates a relationship, and John's identifying what makes us, what separates us as far as the group goes. So things like that. Let me get rid of this. Let's see where we have. Well, I'll clean that up for next time. All right. Do we all know what we want to do? We want to move ahead from this one to starting to identify some of these individual component parts. And then if we need to do any more dividing, we can. For instance, we could have that and then Antichrist is coming. You don't have to, but that could be another division. You'd want to identify significant words, color them or highlight them or circle them, identify as a result. So the result of, put the word result next to it, point an arrow to it, and then have a siren go off when you say it, things like that. We all good?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think it's getting easier, isn't it, you guys?
Yep.
Yep.
I think so.
Good. Good. We'll keep at it together. We'll pick this up here next time, and we'll review if anybody has a chance. Let's see. No, I always have time. If anyone pushes themselves forward to do circling things and bracketing things and so on, we'll discuss that. If not, we'll discuss doing that, and we'll do them together and compare to what some of us have. If you have significant questions regarding this, feel free to jot them down here. I will, are you guys comfortable with closing today?
Mm-hmm.
Marsha, I know, has a meeting. So. Let's see, which one do we want to go with today here? Are we worthy of applause?
Mm-hmm.
I have a surprise one for you next week. So.
But Lana's got to be here, right?
Yeah, she's got to be here for this one. You know, it's almost like one of those talk shows where the talk show guy has a sidekick.
Yeah, she's got to be here.
It's just things that aren't the same. Okay, so we'll leave it at that. I will go back up here. We'll close with a word of prayer. I should have this PDF up tonight yet, so you guys will have access to it.
Okay.
The video will take a day or two, but. All right, let me close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for each other, the time we've had to spend together, the rich and fullness of your word, Lord, as we take time to look at it verse by verse, phrase by phrase, in the context of the paragraphs and the chapters, and as we repeat the reading of the epistle, and you are able to impress us more and more and give us a familiarity with the things you're showing us and talking about in our life with you. We want to thank you how we experience many times a light going on and manifest growth in our spiritual lives. And then at times it's a subtle, confident growing inside of us in our fellowship with your person. And we want to give you thanks for how faithful and true and consistent you are as we learn to become comfortable with your embrace. Bless our week now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
That's all, folks.